Accession number 18249, Reel 2.
You must remember the weather down there, because the weather was terrible.
Oh, snow, yes, yeah. Terrible. But all as I know, that were another town, we pulled in and we was in an asylum. This big building with an asylum, with all padded walls, all rooms were padded.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So I said, we're in the right place now.
Yeah.
They sorted us out. And I said, we've just got our equipment all settled down. And they said, right, come on, we have to move.
Yeah.
They broke through Yanks at our end, we have to go back.
Right.
So we drove all through night back to our ends.
Yeah, but when you got down there was snow on the ground.
Snow,
and it was cold.
Sliding all over the place.
Because it must have been hard driving those things.
Oh, they were like sledges.
Yeah.
You see, once you touch the tiller and lock wheel, I mean, it just went. Because that's all what happened. As you pull the tiller, you just put brake on that track.
Stopped one.
And the other one
kept going.
Kept going.
Yeah.
So once you did that, I mean, it just...
Yeah.
And there was a lot of cobbled streets.
Yeah. So did you ever slide into... You must have slid into a few ditches
Oh, I was slid and knocked a track off.
Yeah.
You know, if you take something solid, to knock a track off. But me and Perry, we had it off the heart.
Yeah.
We could soon whip a track on.
Yeah. Well, how long would it take you to do that then?
Oh, me and Perry could put one back in 10 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
Because I used to put it on teeth and he used to drive pulley around.
Yeah.
And then when he got it there, it stopped.
Yeah.
And then I managed to get pinning. Yeah. And then at back, we went and tightened it up.
Oh, I see, yeah.
We had it thread right in.
Yeah.
Right out.
Yeah.
And then when you put track on the front pulley we're driving.
Yeah.
So he put track on there and he'd take it round.
Drive it to take it round.
And then he'd drive it till it were tight.
Yeah.
Then you put pin in.
Yeah.
And then you could adjust it.
Yeah. Like crank it up or whatever you do with it. Yeah.
And it just pulled it back.
Yeah. Weren't there a lot of Americans around our dens, weren't there?
Yes.
Did you see any around there?
Oh, they had it rough there, you know, it's in there, isn't it?
Yeah, in the book, yeah.
And, a lot of them were frightened and all, they were rough, they had it rough there.
Yeah.
So they fetched us.
I think you took over, actually, from American positions at one time.
Yeah, we did.
The Americans went out of line.
They went
and you
back,
went into
we took over.
Positions, yeah.
Well, first of all, we went to reinforcing them because they broke through.
Yeah.
And then we actually took over.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, because the Germans were trying to push up toward Antwerp. And to cut off the American forces and the British forces, weren't they?
And then they put us in there too. We managed only.
Yeah. So how did you manage? You know, it must have been very cold and wet and bad. You manage up there?
Yeah. And trench, they had made good trenches, you know. They put all tree trunks across. They were good.
Yeah.
But they put all clay on at top of these logs.
Yeah.
But with all snow melting, you used to be in a... When you were laying, you know, when you're having your time off, 2 hours on and 4 hours, water would be dropping down
because
it'd soak through.
Yeah, because you didn't have any winter clothing, did you, at that
No.
time? You just had your normal greatcoat,
We had like overalls, like a boiler suit, waterproof boiler suit.
Yeah.
Drivers, yeah.
Oh, but it was waterproof, so that was all right then. Yeah. But did it keep the cold out?
Well, I don't remember being cold. We must have been, but I don't remember.
Mm.
I remember going to sleep set up.
What, down there?
I was in like a greenhouse, and we'd been up all night and another night, and I were on guard in this. It was like a glass house or something.
Yeah.
And next thing I knew, we were going up off floor. stood up.
A lot of people used to fall asleep over clotheslines, didn't they?
I didn't know you could go to sleep set up, but I did.
And you said you used to do the cooking for your boys.
Yeah, I once started drop lucky. You know them big milk churns what farmers used to have? They go up like a milk bottle.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I found this with all this white I thought it was grease, you know.
Yeah.
So I whipped it in my carrier. I thought that would just be right for chips.
Yeah, yeah.
So I made these chips and they were all lovely and brown, so I put them out. But when I dished them out, it was tallow. and they were all sort of tallow soaked all around and they'd gone all white again, chips.
So they sacked you as cook, did they?
So we dumped it.
Yeah.
I just had to make some, what they call all in after, with biscuits and corned beef and all sort.
Well, like a stew thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good though, it was warm.
Yeah.
I always remember, you know these old fashioned toilets where they only have a bucket underneath?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, Johnson, him with white hair, you know.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
He said, go in there and brew up. So I goes in there and mum, they see a thing, brewing up, and takes it out, and next morning it's one of these toilets.
Yeah.
Full it were, and I could see this board in a bit of light there were.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was a toilet.
Yeah.
And they were brewing up on this board here.
Yeah, but didn't you notice this thing?
I didn't know it was a toilet till next morning.
No. Horrible,
I'd been cooking in there and brewing up.
Yeah.
Because they were like a body and then toilet here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd ignored that. I hadn't seen that. I had enough room here.
Yeah. But you didn't have any special talents as a cook, did you?
I could do chips and bread with biscuits, with no bread, unless we managed to get some out of one of the houses.
Didn't you? Yeah, I suppose you had to live off the land a bit, didn't you?
Yeah.
A few chickens or eggs or whatever you found.
Chickens and eggs.
Yeah.
Well, I lived off them.
Yeah. So did you have to chase them and catch them, the chickens, or what?
Well, a lot of them had let the pet rabbits out.
Yeah.
Because of feeding them, so they just let them go.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were pet rabbits, you know, white ones.
Yeah, some were dead as well, I suppose.
A lot of them were still running about.
Yeah.
Well, you could catch them with them being tame ones.
Yeah.
And there were always somebody who could kill them. I could never kill them, but they did.
Yeah.
Kill away, everybody could kill them and ship them in no time.
Yeah.
Still twitching it, pal.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's cruel, though, isn't it?
But if it's that or starving, I suppose that's what they'll do, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, it was good, rabbit.
Yeah. You went up to... When you after that sort of down there, you went back into Holland, I think, and you spent some time in Brussels, didn't you?
Yeah.
On leave.
Antwerp, weren't we?
Yeah. Well, you went up to Antwerp. That was dock clearing up
there,
wasn't it?
That's where docks was. Yeah.
Well, you remember it up there? Remember going up there?
Yeah, I remember. We had gun on docks.
Yeah.
Set out up on the docks, had we?
Yeah.
With about three guns set up on the docks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember firing them, but we were all there.
Yeah.
I think infantry had moved forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I think that was around, you were there about, that was before actually, you went down to the Ardennes. That was about September time, early September time probably.
Yeah.
You were in the Ardennes about Christmas time, before you went into the Reichswald.
And then where's Nijmegen?
Nijmegen is, well, you were in Nijmegen just prior to going to Reichswald. You were there.
Before
now. Well, February time, is this? February. This is after the Ardennes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you spent
snow had started clearing me then.
Yeah, that's right. February. It was rainy though, wasn't
it? Yeah. Oh, you got a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you know, you must have been fit for sleeping then. Place was you and being rain all the time. I mean, you never had your clothes off. I mean, you were no such thing as getting undressed.
Now, what about baths though? You must have got some clean at times. I mean, what were you doing about baths? They brought round mobile baths or something.
But that was all there. That weren't when we were on. That was when we'd been on the round Shrewsbury Plains.
Yeah.
They had two trucks and they tied a sheet.
Oh, I see.
To a sheet, and but me and Fergie didn't. We went in the house.
Yeah.
They were only for soldiers.
Only for the soldiers, yeah. Only for the real soldiers. but then you said something about you used to cook, going back to your cooking, you said you used to cook for a Dutch family in a windmill or something.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
She used to cook for us, I used to provide food.
Oh, you had the food, that's right.
And I think there were about 11 children.
Yeah.
And she used to say, right, dinner's ready or whatever. And then we all had to sit there till father come.
Yeah.
And he'd come in and kick his clogs off and put some clean on and walk in. And then we had to say prayers.
Yeah.
And then we could start. But nobody were allowed to touch anything till he'd said his prayers.
Yeah. And they didn't want you to go in the end, did they?
No. We were there for about 4 or 5 days. And holy crap, when we went out, kids were crying.
Yeah, yeah, but you've been providing the food for them, haven't you, as well, apart from anything else? Yeah. You don't know where that was. That was, it was in Holland, presumably.
Viet, I think.
Oh, Viet.
Yeah.
Do you remember going, after Reichswald, do you remember going down to a place called Wies and Geldern?
Yeah.
Those places.
Yes.
And a village called Pottershof.
Yes, some of them villages, when we went, there was Germans still in them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you always had to be watching out because they said, like, there's Germans still in that village, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, many times these little villages, you'd walk in them and nothing would happen.
Yeah.
You'd walk again and firing would start coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, what Germans did, like I said, they used to leave a few men behind and take all the others and get to set up the guns and things farther back.
Yeah.
And these were called for disturbance. Mm. You see, they did a lot of firing and shooting.
Mm.
But we didn't know there were only them few there.
Yeah.
And a lot of them soldiers there didn't know that others had been drawn back.
Yeah.
They were just left there for cause as much trouble as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was a good idea.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Well, they got the others line set up again farther back.
Yeah.
But many a time they were innocent when they found out they were on their own.
Yes, yeah.
And they used to give themselves up.
Yeah.
First prisoners I ever saw, they were in France, they were giving themselves up all over the place.
Yeah.
They were giving themselves up everywhere.
Well, this must be when you were going down early, to the Calais.
Early on, yes.
Early on, yeah.
And I remember gun crew was about 300 yards down the road, and I'd gone under this edge, and I was cooking.
Yeah.
We had a primer stove then, but after that we used to have jam tins full of dirt and saturated with petrol, and they were better than primer stove.
And they didn't make any smoke, did they? That was one of the things.
No, they didn't make very little smoke, and I used to cook on them.
Yeah.
Because primer stove, you were pumping.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a primer stove, and I'm pumping, and gun crew's down there, and I'm pumping, pumping thing, and then there's a voice says, comrade, and when I turn around, there's these three Germans coming like that, so I just come like that, and looked at, and I just started pumping quick.
You just almost ignored them, did you?
I didn't know what they were. And they just come to me then, so I just shouted corporal. But when I first saw them, and I saw they were Germans, I just started pumping. It was a funny feeling.
Where was your gun, though? Did you have a gun or a rifle nearby? Yeah?
I had nothing on it, primary store. Because that. They had their hands up. They were giving themselves up.
Yeah, so they had no weapons
they had
with them anyway.
No. I think there were about four of them.
Yeah.
And they were first I saw.
that must have been quite frightening.
It did when it turned.
The
because it first German I'd seen. I give that stone to Mama.
There's some stories that you can tell, Reuben. You were saying, you used to cut their hair as well, didn't you? Weren't you the barber?
We had it shaved one another's. We shaved it off with a razor.
Yeah.
Bald. Well, hey, we're better, though, for washing in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a matter of...
Yeah, well, that was all right early on, July, wasn't it, when it was hot. But when it got a bit cold, you could do it.
Oh, we didn't dye it off then.
No,
that were early on.
Yeah. What about going over the Rhine and going into Germany? Can you remember any of that, or going across Germany?
We crossed a lot of rivers, didn't we?
You did. Yeah.
I remember that tank being pushed off and left, and they drowned them.
Yeah, where was it? You don't know where that was. That's where a tank was going across
but
the river
we
somewhere.
All going across this bridge, and this tank had got one track over.
Yeah.
And was stuck. It was skidding. It wouldn't start again.
Yeah.
So tank behind him, he got orders for just shove it off. So he just shoved it off into water. It wasn't very deep. It was only more of a big stream.
Yeah.
But it was enough for, as they couldn't get out because. Mm. Even if they wanted to get at them, you see, it had turned over and thatch.
Yeah.
They couldn't open thatch.
Yeah.
And driver couldn't get through his slot.
Because that was very shallow.
So if anybody wanted to help them, they couldn't because it had turned onto hatch and they couldn't open it. So the manual, I never saw anybody bother with them. They were all busy getting this transport across.
No, you would have thought they would have taken a couple of seconds to get the people out initially before they pushed the tank off the bridge, wouldn't you?
Well, everybody were panicking, didn't they? They said, get that tank off, you know, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, because there were a big line of transport back on sorts.
Was that in Germany?
No, it'd be early Belgium, somewhere like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. What about, do you remember going back to Brussels, spending any time in Brussels? Because I know the battalion went back for a couple of rest periods.
Yeah.
Spent probably about 10 days in Brussels at once.
Yeah, well, we always managed to get in a house somewhere, me and Fergie. We never... I remember one time, we were in a farm, and me and Fergie said, I'm saying we didn't get coal. Now, this night, me and Fergie were coal.
Yeah.
So I says, come on, I'll show you what to do.
Yeah.
So we went in Chipping, and cows were laid down.
Yeah.
And one cow there and one cow here. So Fergie lay on that cow and I lay on this cow.
Yeah.
Four-legged cows.
Yeah.
And they were warm and all.
Yeah.
We were lovely and warm. But when he coughed, every time he coughed...
It bounced. You bounced.
You bounced. When he coughed.
I didn't know cows coughed.
Oh, they do. And we was... Hey, you were lovely and warm, but you know, you were lay on carry itself, and they never moved, they lay there all night.
Oh, that's good.
And they were in barn, shivering, and me and Fergie were lay on these carriers.
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been in Brussels, because in Brussels, I would imagine you were in billets with local people, weren't you, when you were in Brussels?
Yeah.
I imagine.
I was in houses then.
Yeah.
But We used to get in houses a lot, me and Fergie. We didn't rough it a lot.
Yeah. It was all right in those houses? They treated you well, those people?
Well, they did anything.
Yeah. You don't go back and see, you've never been back to see them since?
No.
I suppose you wouldn't know where they were.
No, you wouldn't know.
No.
Oh, I mean, they were all third world, I mean, no, they all cried more, like when you were leaving.
Yeah,
you
right.
had a day with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got home.
Yeah, of course. What about, because I know a place that you have been back to, and that's Ergenbosch, where you've been back to a couple of times. But do you remember much about that incident there?
Fields were mined heavily, so we had to go railway track over all sleepers.
Yeah.
You've seen that kind of going up.
On that thing, on
the
tank.
We all went there. And then when we got to, but before that, we had to, these Germans were all in these buildings. And every bridge, I forget how many bridges there's a lot.
Yeah.
Because you have to cross a bridge to get into town.
Into the centre.
You can't get into it unless you cross a bridge.
Yeah.
Well, all guns were set on these bridges.
Mm.
So they'd fire like mad, and then they'd stop for a few minutes. And that's when you had to get across.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were getting new ammunition or not, but they'd stop for a few minutes and then start again.
Yeah.
So you had to wait to that. As soon as it stopped, you had to dash across.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one bridge had a big hole in. You could just get past.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob Atkinson mentioned that bridge. He said the infantry could get past, but he wasn't sure whether the vehicles could get past.
One bridge, there was a big hole, you couldn't get past that.
Yeah.
But bridge lower down, you could just get past.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a hole, but it was more on one side.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But that was night time. When you went up that railway line, that was night time, wasn't it then? And it was, and I think, but there was a problem there with dikes, wasn't there as well? Weren't there dikes that you had to cross, up and down, goes through
it's full of water, I mean, there. It even runs under town.
Yeah.
One at Canal Run, you can have a sale on the old houses.
Yeah. Well, I suppose a lot of Holland's like that.
We slept in a cellar there in Stoltenbosch, and they were all civilians. There were men and women and all that there.
Yeah.
And they all used things at night. They didn't bother women and men.
Yeah. But that was after you'd taken the town at
Stoltenbosch. Yes. Guns were in position then.
Yeah, that's
right. And I were down in cellar.
Yeah.
Comforting civilians.
Being nice to the civilians. But you weren't cooking for them that stage, or giving them food and things.
No. There were a lot of fighting going on there. Because they were still fighting. They didn't like losing. But what they did, they had them flamethrowers, I forget what they call them.
Crocodiles.
Crocodiles.
Yeah.
And that building where they were firing, they just went and it's like a blow lamp.
Yeah.
You know how you can make a blow lamp?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's a flame about that wide.
Yeah. And there was, I think in that building you're talking about, there were some Dutch people as well, which were the same, wasn't it?
And when they go and set that goes in, you know, it's petrol going, so it sets it a fire right away.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, it's a long flame, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be right on top of it.
I think they could, because on that film that you gave Jimmy Smith about Hergenbosch, there was a chap on there talking about those crocodiles, and he said they could shoot them for about 100 metres.
Yes, terrible that, because they used firing through windows, you know, and that building, everything went quiet once that had gone, because it just flames everywhere, because it shoots petrol all over, so everywhere it goes. Whatever it is, I don't know, it'd be something higher than petrol.
I suppose so, yeah, I'm not sure what it is, really, but it's got to be a highly flammable thing.
It's
anyway.
That fire.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, though, we were in a place, and there was no need for it. This German were walking up the road, and they had flamethrowers, smaller ones and all, I think.
Didn't they have one in the back? They carry on their backs.
And this bloke fired at this bloke, he was only walking up.
Yeah.
He just dropped down, you were like a bag of cinders after.
No, it's awful, isn't it? No need for that.
No need for it.
No. Well, it's a bit like what you were saying about when you had to, because I know with these carriers, you sometimes had to bring back wounded and take them back to backward positions and so on. But you had a German, you had to carry a German back sometimes.
On top of my carrier. Hey, you were lay on top of shovels and picks.
Yeah.
Because at front of carrier, there were a big long toolbox.
Yeah.
And then we had which roof sloping up. I used to have them strapped all up.
Yeah.
The first time, I think it were three. Three, like, for digging in.
Yeah.
Because there were picks and three shovels. We weren't allowed any more.
Yeah.
We had more, so we'd have one each.
Yeah.
You'd have thought it were wimpies moving. Because you couldn't get all of a spade quick enough, you know.
Yeah.
Because you want to be digging in. If you got to a field and they were firing and whatnot, you weren't long before you dug a hole.
No. Do you remember? Did you see much of? I don't suppose you remember Bob there, Bob Atkinson.
Well, all as I saw Bob when we used to go with this company, I can remember him. As we were driving up, he'd be marching outside with all his pack on, you know.
So you knew him sort of by sight, really, rather than knowing him as a person to talk to?
No. Because they were just B company to us, A company.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew some of them beside, but we never had any dealings with them. And we were better off than Bob, because Bob couldn't carry what we could have, always have tea and sugar and rations, in carrier, and petrol for a tin of soil, you could always brew up.
Yeah.
We used to brew up and take it to blokes in
trenches.
We used to give Bob and them
tea.
They couldn't carry anything because there's enough carry with their equipment.
No.
See, they had all their equipment and bullets and spades and picks on the back.
Yeah, right.
And Bob were in all that, you know.
Yeah, he was. Well, Bob was lucky as well, because as you say, you weren't wounded at all, were you?
No.
Bob wasn't wounded at all.
No, you're lucky because there were snipers all over there. We were at a farm once, and they was going through a gate, and I think there were four shot, killed. before they stopped them going through the gate.
Yeah.
Because they didn't find them till after, and he was a sniper in a tree.
Yeah.
Anyway, they sent some troops out to find him after, because they, like, looked where he were, where they were dead and where, and they found him in a tree.
Yeah.
And when we moved off, I saw him at tree on the branch.
Yeah, yeah. This German sniper. Yeah. Because,
So there were always that danger. There were always good snipers about.
That's right, yeah. Or things like booby traps or mines.
They usually leave cars. One or two, we got one, but leave everything to be. Even pears on trees were booby trapped. As you pull that pear, it set a booby trap off on the other part of the tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first thing you saw a big pear, so they got wounded.
Yeah.
And another one, there'd be a car, so we'd probably be there a couple of days, so they'd see this car and they'd start messing. As soon as he lifted Bonnie, took it. And these good trenches, when they left them, they were good trenches because they'd have plenty of time to dig them and put trees on and cover them.
Yeah.
Now, them, they used to put booby traps in them.
Yeah.
Because that was the first place you used to go in the side and then a booby trap would go.
Yeah.
So you always have to be able
to be careful all the time. Yeah.
But, like I said, it can happen. Because all them what grabbed that pair, he got killed. And then what lifted Bonnie up, he got killed. So you're under the one chances of being killed.
Yeah, that's right.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, my mate, what used to be with us at Blackpool, with Eric and me, they pulled up and he went to sleep under his truck and a shell come over, one of our shells, and fell short, blew him and his truck up. That was his own shell.
Yeah, that's right.
So you see, there were always that chance. So, you know, there were 100 chances. So you're lucky, aren't you?
Yeah. Old Tommy Neary was telling me a story where he was with a group of his people, the signals people, I suppose, somewhere in France, I think it was, and he just noticed this pinging on a wall beside him, and he said he didn't take anything of it, he didn't really know what it was. It was early in the war, he'd only been there a week or something, but there was this pinging on the side of the wall. He looked round and the people that he were with were all on the floor, wounded, dead, lying there, and somebody dragged him back from this wall, and he then realised that he was being fired at. That was the first he knew of it.
No, me and a blow, in fact I could have had a medal for it, they wanted to give it me and I said give it Johnson. These here wirelesses in a case, they were in a case about that big, telephone, they sent me and a bloke across a field, and we had to go to a house, and they were shelling that house all the time we were there. And when we come back, there was a sniper firing at us. And me and him, we had this carrier between it, and we were zigzagging. Hey, that was another thing, we were lucky. Because he was frightened to death, this bloke. And it made me laugh where we were zigzagging and pulling in. We had truck between him with two big handles on.
Because you're pulling one way, probably, and he's pulling the other way.
And you've got this. Anyway, whatever happened, he missed me kept in. You know. So I don't know, we were just, it must have been just moving enough.
Yeah, just in the right direction at the right time.
But that will look, you know.
Yeah.
Because they were shelling that out where we'd been for it. That's again, why were I picked again? You see, you get picked and you don't know.
Yeah, half of it's luck, isn't it, really? Luck or fate or whatever.
Oh, it is. It isn't is. Look, because there's a thousand things could happen to you, isn't there?
Oh, you would think so, yeah. I mean, it's a very dangerous place after all, isn't it? Bob Atkinson said that when he got back, he went home during the war, April 20th or something like that, he went back home. It was near the end of the war, and he went back home. When he got home, I told you about that bar of chocolate, didn't I?
Yeah.
That his mother found in his backpack, a bullet buried in a bar of chocolate.
Yeah.
And he says, Bob says, that even today, he doesn't know how it got there or the circumstances.
So that just missed
it. It's just luck, isn't it? So.
Well, when we was going on leave from Germany somewhere, Belgium, there were a group of lads going. There were about four of our lot. There were A company, B company, C, and some of our lot.
Yeah.
Support company.
Yeah.
So I said to Simon, hey, I went with them last time, them four. because the names were on.
Yeah.
I said, I went, he said, you're... I said, I went with them last time. Why am I doing this? He said, you're out neck for.
Yeah.
Shut off or something.
Yeah.
So, when I, it was Ashwell Forest.
Yeah.
So when I come back off leave,
yeah.
First thing I saw, I'd kill away with me, we had daft thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about him after.
Yeah.
We were told go up to Joint Platoon when we got to headquarters. He said, and keep on that track, don't move off it because Germans are in war.
Yeah.
So first thing I saw was my carrier. It was stuck in a ditch, my carrier. Mm. It was called Darwin, they were all Lancashire town.
Oh, you had names for them? Not numbers, you had names for your carrier.
Mine were Darwin, and Eric's were Burnley.
Oh,
he had
right.
his own
yeah.
player.
Yeah, yeah.
And Clitheroe and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my carrier. So we could hear bombs dropping. So I said to Kilaway, we're stopping it. He said, no, let's get back. I said, we'll stop here.
Yeah.
And we stopped him, I think. I said, we'll stop here till daylight.
Yeah.
So I dragged him in. He wanted to carry on.
Yeah.
I said, we're stopping here till daylight.
Yeah.
So we stopped there, and we joined them next morning. As soon as it was daylight. And as soon as the officer saw me, he said, go and get your truck out. And we got it out, and just as we got it out, it was just a foot just coming up, a tank coming over it, over at Mugard, and shut it back again.
Yeah. One of our tanks. Yeah.
He was coming down, but instead of getting over, he ran over, blooming front Mugard, and shut it down again.